Happy New Year, everybody. Every new year brings changes, and here in California, we're looking at a lot of change, particularly to our laws. Those changes involve everything from new rules in the workplace involving income disparities to sealing the criminal records of job applicants. Changes to healthcare laws include protection for reproductive rights and expanding conservatorship rights for family members of the mentally ill. And yet other laws raise the minimum wage, ban charging women more for the same products as men, and eliminate penalties for jaywalking as long as it's safe. We delve into these topics and more with a local attorney who tells us how these new laws will affect us. And Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Marla Tejas. This is Fox 11 News In Depth. Hal Eisner, he is off this week. We welcome back one of our very favorite guests to In Depth. That is attorney Ugo Lord. Welcome, Ugo. It's so nice to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Marla. It is so good to see you in person, in studio. It's great being here.
Last time you joined us on depth, it was via Zoom, so I agree. It's nice to see you in the flesh. All right, we gave him a very tall order to try and make sense of all of the new laws that took effect on January 1st here in the state, beginning with a trio of new laws here in California that aim to protect reproductive freedoms, beginning with AB 2223. This helps to protect self-induced abortions that happen outside of the medical system. What does that mean?
Yeah, Marla, you're absolutely correct. We see now that abortion rights are enshrined in the Constitution here in the state of California. And these laws are meant to further protect mothers. And particularly with this law is that it allows mothers to not fear any type of repercussion for any type of self-induced abortion that happens outside of the medical facility. And it not only protects the mother, but also protects those who assist the mother. And the key is that this has to be voluntary. It's a matter of making sure that the mother fully consents to what is happening to her body and the law protecting her for those decisions that are made. And what is really interesting is that it's not a free-for-all outside of the medical care system. The idea is that the mother's health is priority, her safety is priority, and if there are any type of shady facilities outside of the medical care system that is providing these treatment, they can still be sued. But the idea is that if there are safe methods for mothers to induce a type of termination outside of the healthcare system, they'll be protected.
Okay, more protections. Are under AB 1242. This is the what we've dubbed here, by the way, as the anti-tattletale law.
Yes, Marla. See, what we see is we see a lot of conservative states attempting to reach their hand into the state of California to require Californians to disclose to other conservative states what is happening in our state. What this law says is that a patient's medical treatment inside the state of California for abortion-related services is private. Even if you have individuals from conservative states coming into California for the purposes of receiving abortions, no longer are medical facilities required to disclose outside the state that that out-of-state resident came to California for those services. So I love that it's called an anti-tattletale law because that's exactly what it is. What happens in California now stays in California.
Okay, and he is from Las Vegas, so you're very familiar with that phrase, right?
Very true.
Lastly, this is about employer protection. So your employer cannot discriminate against you for anything reproductive related.
This is huge because this affects not only public employees, but also private employees as well. So what we're seeing with this area of this new law is that employers can no longer ask any prospective employees or current employees regarding their own reproductive health. It goes back to the concept of privacy. What happens in your family is between you, your significant other, your children, your family members, and it stays there. So if there are reproductive health decisions that an employer may disagree with, they no longer can retaliate against that employee for any type of disagreements based on those decisions. So it really protects family units to keep their employment regardless of any private decisions that they make regarding contraception.
I think one of the deterrents has been for women in particular who are maybe afraid to explain what they're going to be doing for family growth and out of fear of retaliation. But now No longer.
Now no more. And what we really see is we see this really when it comes to private institutions, especially private institutions that have some sort of religious component. Let's talk about a teacher, for example, in a private school. A private school may publicly agree with any type of ban on contraceptives, but no longer do the employees have to toe the line with their employer. They don't have to take anything. Mm. It is a private decision. Whatever that they may personally do in their lives, regardless of their religious beliefs, it is private. It's between them and their families, and it stays that way.
Okay, we're going to switch gears now from reproductive rights to and freedoms to mental health protections. And we're talking about if people, many families throughout the state, nationwide, in fact, of course, but we're only here talking about California. If you have a mentally ill family member, and you want to get them help.
Yes.
This law aims to protect you and help provide that help via the court system.
Yes, Marla, families across the state are struggling when it comes to other family members that are suffering from serious mental health issues. And when we talk about serious mental health issues, we're talking about psychotic issues, issues such as schizophrenia, for example. There is now new relief for these family members to ask for a lifeline. Family members can now petition the courts under California's CARE system to ask courts to come up with a one-year treatment plan. This can include medical treatment, as well as housing and other programs. And because this is under the CARE program, there are financial aid components that several families may be able to qualify for when they petition these court and request for these type of services.
This is where you start to kind of blur the line in terms of the conservatorship topic, because we heard a lot about that because of Britney Spears and the Free Britney movement. So how does that relate?
Here's the good thing when it comes to these freedoms. Because we're talking about some of the most egregious cases, some of the most serious cases of mental health, the component where there is not voluntary consent is treated with the highest scrutiny by healthcare professionals, as well as with the courts. So we're talking about families that really have no other alternative, no choice. Conservatorships are now expanded to allow these family members to seek a type of involuntary treatment. But even if it is an involuntary treatment, there are signposts that occur to allow these patients to regularly seek relief from a judge if they do not consent. Hmm. So this is not a situation where it's a one and done, I'll see you in a year, good luck. Okay. If there are instances where these patients do not agree, they can petition for a court to review their file with a healthcare professional to determine whether involuntary treatment should continue.
All right, well, he is attorney Ugo Lord, and he's helping us make sense of the new laws that went into effect January 1st. When we come back, we'll be talking about laws that impact your workplace, new laws that went into effect. More in depth after the break. Welcome back, everybody. We are back with attorney Ugo Lord to talk about more of our new California laws. Many of those involve changes in the workplace. So let's start off with ones that involve something we've been discussing intently for a couple of years, and that is workplace safety. And this one ultimately was born out of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. See, prior to this new legislation, if you were to feel that your workplace was unsafe, and if you were to walk out the job, and if you were wrong, the penalties were severe. That is, if you were terminated, your termination sticks if you were not correct. With this new legislation, what it does is it puts a reasonable belief on the employee as to whether or not that employee reasonably believed that the workplace is unsafe. So an example that I like to use is, let's say you're in the delivery truck business and you have a driving partner that you work with every day, and you have a lunch and you see your partner have a couple drinks during lunch. You no longer have to prove that your coworker was intoxicated. You simply have to prove that you had a reasonable belief that it was now unsafe for your coworker to drive. And so it requires for you first to report internally, call a supervisor, let them know that you do not feel safe. Mm-hmm. And if the supervisor has not been able to resolve that issue, then you have the ability legally now in California to walk off the job, but keep your job and prevent any type of retaliation from happening to you on behalf of your employer.
And I think this became a big issue during COVID because of lack of protections, especially for essential workers.
Absolutely.
So now they can say, hey, I don't feel safe. And they can do that and not face any repercussions.
Absolutely. You know, when the pandemic really hit, when we were in the height of it, it was pandemonium. It was chaos. And that is what tested previous laws. Mm. Because what we saw is that previous laws were not good enough to protect how someone subjectively feels if it's a reasonable belief. And with this, it removes that element now. We've seen basically through trial and error, what could potentially happen if you do not feel safe and you still go to work. I mean, we saw during the COVID pandemic, the suicide rate go up with first healthcare responders, first responders, because they didn't feel safe to go to work, but then they couldn't leave without losing their job.
Right.
It became a mental health epidemic in the mental health, medical community. And now what we're seeing is further protections to allow relief to employees who feel like their place is unsafe.
And that is SB 1044. Moving on to AB 1949. This impacts bereavement leave, which I think is tied to that, essentially.
Absolutely.
In some way.
You're absolutely right. And this is huge. And what essentially now offers is 5 days of leave for the bereavement of a family member. And so when we're talking about a family member, think of it as your nuclear family. So your spouse, your child, parent, grandchild, grandparent, siblings. They count as a nuclear family to be able to take 5 days off in the event of a family emergency, a passing away of a family member.
Unpaid though, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that you ask that because it's unpaid with an asterisk. So yes, it is unpaid unless your job currently offers any type of paid leave. Mm. If your job offers paid leave, then you can apply that paid leave to bereavement. So if you have extra vacation days, you can use the vacation time paid for bereavement without affecting necessarily your vacation days. Now, it does reduce what your paid leave is overall throughout the year, but it still allows you to apply paid leave to bereavement if your employer offers paid leave for other type of leave programs.
Okay, so there's also a new law that's mandating pay transparency, and this essentially means that employers have to post how much the job is making annually.
Absolutely, Marla.
Salaries.
Yes. You know, you've seen Governor Newsom time and time again talk about providing transparency to close the wage gap between men and women, as well as between minorities and the majority. And this law specifically targets that. So it requires that if you work at an institution with 15 or more employees, that institution now has to post what the salaries are of employees in that institution. Hmm. Not only that, but it allows those who currently work in the institution to simply go to their HR department and request for that information as well. So we're not just talking about prospective employees. We're talking about protections for current employees as well. Imagine if you know how much your colleague is making, and if there is a big wage gap between you and your colleague who does the same job, you can arm yourself with that information and demand for equal pay for equal work.
HR is going to be busy, I imagine, around the state. that's for sure. Okay, now protections for those with criminal records. This is SB 731. What is this about?
Marla, this is a controversial one because this applies to those who have had felony convictions. And so essentially what it is, it allows those who have been convicted of a crime, especially a serious crime such as a felony, to have automatic sealing of their records after a certain number of years. And so it depends on the offense, but we're seeing a magic number, which is around 5 years right now. So you have to complete your sentence, you have to complete parole, and you have to be essentially crime-free for about 5 years. If that happens, you now automatically, in some cases, can have your criminal records sealed. And the objective behind this law really has to do with possession offenses for drug-related crimes. That is, nonviolent crimes where there are drug possession, having your records sealed after a certain number of years. But the law doesn't specifically call out drug possession in the way that we think, because it still can be applied to other types of felony convictions. So that's why, Marla, it's important to talk about very serious exceptions to this rule. Okay. And that has to do with anything to do with children. If you're dealing with children, this does not apply with you.
It doesn't count.
Right. If you're dealing with education, this doesn't apply to you. If you're dealing with law enforcement, this also doesn't apply for you. If you're working in the courts, this doesn't apply for you. But in other areas of employment, you can get your records automatically sealed after you've served your time, unless it is a serious violent crime.
Got it.
It's no longer automatic if it's serious violent offense, but you can petition the court and request for it.
Okay, very good. We're not done with you just yet. When we come back, we're going to talk about new laws that affect you and your money. Welcome back. We are now back with Attorney Ugo Lord to talk more about our new California laws for 2023. One of the biggies here in California, the minimum wage went up to $15.50.
Yeah, perfect relief for families across the state of California. Now we see $15.50 as a minimum wage throughout the entire state of California. And interestingly enough, before this law, a higher wage only applied to those that had 25 employees or more. If you had less than 25 employees, it was around $14, which was much less than, of course, the average across the state. But now that threshold is gone. Regardless of the number of employees that you have, it is $15.50 across the state. And actually here in the city of LA, it's as high as $16.04. But the really important thing to note is that because there's no longer this requirement, certain small businesses such as Ma and Pa shops may not be completely privy that they also have to now pay a higher minimum wage. So if there's a circumstance which you believe that you're entitled to more money throughout the minimum wage standards from this new law, the very first thing that you should do is simply talk to your employer. Make them privy, make them aware of this new law, of the new legislation. Only then, if your wage is not increased, then you can now report outside to local government institutions regarding this wage discrepancy.
Okay, so new minimum wage in the state of California. There's also now what's called the pink tax, essentially that you cannot charge more for women's products than you do for men's products, talking about the same products. So deodorant, for instance, women tend to have to pay more for deodorant, but now that's against the law.
Marla, I didn't even know about this until a family member brought it to my attention.
Oh, I could have told you this.
I had no idea. My cousin was telling me that she wears men's deodorant, and I was like, why? Because she said it costs less. Gone are those days, Marla. No longer do consumers have to worry about having to pay more simply because you're a woman for the exact same product. In the state of California, it is now mandated by law that if it's the same product with the same ingredients, you have to charge the same price.
Good. Good. Drop the mic right there, please. Lastly, this has gotten a lot of attention.
Yes.
Jaywalking, no longer a crime if... Right? There's an if.
If you do it safely. Marla, this is interesting because when I began my legal profession out in the state of Nevada, I was in a program called Trial by Peers. And one of my very first clients was a 14-year-old boy who was charged with a misdemeanor for jaywalking. We're talking about life-altering repercussions if you're convicted of a misdemeanor as a child, something that will follow you for the rest of your life. I spoke to the parents of my client at the time, and I said, hey, let's take this to a jury. The parents said, I trust you. We went to the jury, and the first thing that I told the jury is this: yes, my client committed this quote-unquote crime, but should their life be changed simply because they crossed the street outside of a crosswalk? The jury came back, not guilty. Mm-hmm. A very perfect example of jury nullification. Now in the state of California, it is no longer a crime to cross the street outside of a crosswalk if it is done safely. You can't get ticketed for it. You cannot be charged for it. But it has to be safe. Don't jump out in the middle of the street and expect to be protected, because you're not only putting your life at risk, but it puts the life of other drivers at risk. But if you can do it safely, it's no longer penalized.
I mentioned that this has gotten a lot of attention. A lot of chatter on Nextdoor, though, for people who aren't happy with this, thinking that it's just going to make it more unsafe for drivers.
Marla, we have to look at what is the intent behind the law. And we look at the intent behind the law, we see that this law was primarily being applied to low-income communities and people of color. And so the idea and the premise behind this law was not to punish people with more backgrounds that may be different from backgrounds of those in more affluent communities. Have a more level playing field for everybody. So yes, it is very controversial because the idea is that we want our roadways to be safe, but at the same time, we don't want minority communities and low-end communities to be targeted for something as mundane as crossing the street.
And there are people who say that California, we're just soft on crime.
Yeah, no.
When you're reviewing all of these new laws that just took effect, what do you think is the most, what stood out to you as to be the most impactful for Californians?
I believe that anything that directly impacts your wallet is so important. You know, when we talk about the wage gap between men and women, we already know that women historically, statistically, are making less than men for the same job, for the same position. Mm-hmm. But then to discover that not only are they making less than men, but they're paying more than men for the exact same products. When we allow transparency now to happen in the workplace, when we allow women to now have a voice when it comes to their bodies, a voice when it comes to their rights, a voice when it comes to their children, because there are laws that even affect transgendered kids here in the state of California. A lot of people are coming into California, especially for their children, to have gender-affirming healthcare decisions. Mm-hmm. And there are now laws on the books that protect those parents from making them those decisions and not being punished when they go back to other conservative states.
Very good. We'll be right back with more Fox 11 News In Depth right after the break. Welcome back. We have one more law to tell you about. This involves a beloved singer and kids, and you can explain, Ugo.
Absolutely. We're talking about Dolly Parton. Who doesn't love Dolly Parton? She is bringing a reading program that she started in her home state to California. It's called Imagination Library for those that are aged 0 to age 5. We're talking about 3 library books delivered directly to your home. All you have to do is sign up, go to Imagination Library, sign up for free, and start helping your kids read.
Dolly Parton, she does it all.
She's
and
amazing.
You're right, everybody loves Dolly. Who doesn't love Dolly? Thank you. And who doesn't love Ugo Lord?
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for being with us on this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. It was an honor to sit in for Hal Eisner. He will be back next week. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. See you next week.
Thank you so much for having me.